Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. And sometimes I like to think thinker. Although you may think that the things I think are not things worthy of thought. But who knows? Today is the 24th of October 2024. So, 24-10-24. I've got a harsh light on. I'm going to put my little softer light on here. I'm going to have a look at my diaries. And then I want to tell you something, a little sort of thought process that went through my mind this morning as I awoke on this fine day in this fine world, in this strange universe. What is it? Who are we? Where are we? What are we doing? But first, have I got just a one-liner? I think maybe I have, from our diaries from the English year. And it's John Constable who says, Does not the cathedral, Salisbury, look beautiful among the golden foliage? Its solitary grey must sparkle in it. He said that in 1821 on this day, or at least he wrote it. Or at least that's what we think. Who knows whether anything is actually real or not? And I woke up this morning thinking about the reality of life and how real everything is. This is not an original thought by any means, but it's one that I have cogitated on many times. And, you know, where I stand, where I'm going with all of this, hang on, let me have a little slurp. On this Thursday morning, is I'm beginning to think, well, not beginning, I am thinking. I am comprehending more and more, it's becoming more solid in my thought structure that first, nothing is real. Nothing is actually real, hard and fast, genuine, pin it to the wall, that actually exists. I think everything is an illusion. I think everything is, it is perceptible as something, but it isn't real. And to each and every one of us, we live in a world that is very different from anybody else. Let's face it, we all peer out of eyes in a skull, so we think, so our perception tells us, and we inhabit a body, again, so a perception tells us, and all those myriad of things that go on in our lives are unique. They happen to us as an individual and to no one else. The thoughts we have in our head are unique. We don't think of anybody else's. We don't think anybody else's thoughts. We can try and imagine what somebody else's thoughts are like, but we cannot actually think those thoughts for the very first time. And I find this fascinating. How could it be any other way, you might ask? And that is an equally fascinating question, of the depths of which I am not prepared to plunge. However, what I do find interesting, therefore, is as we all have an individual take on the world, a take on where we find ourselves, a take on a life that we grow up, we develop, and as we get older, we perhaps become wiser or less, depending on how we've treated our body and what we've eaten and what have you. Or do we? You see, the first fundamental thing that one has to ask is, does any if everything is an illusion, which it appears to be, if everything is energy and vibration, if nothing is actually solid, it just has the appearance of being solid, and you can't actually touch anything because you can only use your hands to engage with this solid world, this apparently solid world. But they're your hands, that's not actually me. You're getting feedback from it, but we get feedback from everything. We get feedback from the wind, we get feedback from the air and the vibration of sounds. We get feedback from the eyes. And so the same way we get feedback from our hands, which is giving us the illusion that the table that we're resting our arms on, a chair that we're sitting on, the everything is solid as you engage it. The cup I'm holding apparently is solid. The liquid in the cup is not solid. And yet it is in some way solid. In some way it is there. And that is, you know, liquid and the cup with the coffee as a liquid and the cup as a solid is just a strange thing, that everything has different degrees of solidity and what have you. But anyway, let's just come away from, pull myself off from that. As I say, the first thing that we need to seem to work out is anything real? And then if anything, if that's the question, then are other people that we think of, who I'm as presumably talking to, who are listening to this, who appear to live and breathe, and not that I can see you, of course, because this is purely audio and this is a one-way communication. And when you listen to this, if you do listen to this, this is, you're listening to a historical recording, not of any great significance, I grant you, but you are listening to something that happened in the past. But it gives the illusion that it's happening as you listen. So to me, I don't know that even you exist any more than I exist, or that you are really just players in my world, in a world that I am experiencing. And if, therefore, this world is what I am experiencing, then one of two things can be true. I guess. One is that it is, as it appears, a reality that has been mapped out, a story, a plan. Or, two, I'm creating it myself. I am creating this world myself. That the things and events that happen are really, in some way, down to me. And potentially all down to me, if nothing else exists. And there would be levels of me that I do not understand or have yet to access. Because the level of me that is talking to you now has only a very limited knowledge of things. For example, I do not know the names of certain mosses on the tops of particular mountains in specific places across the so-called globe. Let's not even talk about the globe for the moment. But if I go onto the internet or pick up an encyclopedia or pick up a book that specialises in mosses of mountains across the world, I dare say there would be in it the names of these mountains that somebody somewhere at some time has collected and named. Now, I can't tell you that myself in this limited knowledge that I have from all the things I've experienced and all the things I've read and all the things I've watched and all the conversations I've had. There are many things, more things, massively more things, that I apparently have no knowledge of yet. But in some way, I can access some of that knowledge, not all of it, because not all of it's online and not all of it's been written in books and not all of it is available in the mouths of others yet, because there'll be discoveries that we have yet to discover, although they may well be already in existence. Just because we haven't discovered them doesn't mean they don't exist. I don't know if you're following me. In other words, there is to me, there is no fixed future, no fixed present, no fixed world. So what does all of that mean on a practical day-to-day down in the gutter level? Well, that's an interesting question. Are we doomed? Are we destined? Are we stuck with living our days with everything that we've perceived so far to the end of our time? And I think many people do, assuming these people actually exist, you know, assuming you actually exist and you're not there purely for my entertainment. Or then there are ways to change this illusion. And it is the only way to change it is by thought, the power of how we think, what we perceive. Which then explains, I mean, this explains everything, doesn't it? It explains the business of manifestation, change your thought and change your world. And incidentally, whilst we're talking about worlds, let's just pin this down as well, as this seems to be like a massive revelation to me of years of wondering, you know, who are we, where are we, what is true, what isn't true, is the Bible an accurate depiction of anything, is it a toolkit, is it a story, is it there to help or hinder, does God exist, does hell exist, are Satan real, and all of those things. Well, the other one that we seem to be stuck on, when many people are stuck on, assuming these many people exist, but the arguments that have been thrust in my universe, as it were, is that we, you know, standard thoughts are that we live on a planet that is spinning in space around a solar system. And then there's the argument, no, that's not true. We live on a flat Earth, a flat plane. Now, I don't think either of those are true. I've now come to the realization that neither of those, nothing is as fixed as that. That this that we see, that we experience, and maybe we are all individual gods, if you like, in our own world. The world, you know, is there revolving, and somehow there is some collective consciousness, although I don't quite buy into that at the moment. But because you listening to this will believe that you exist, and everybody, and could take the same argument I'm giving and say, but Richard Phobes, sitting wherever he's sitting, recording this podcast, doesn't exist, but it's purely there for my entertainment, which in of course is true, purely there for your entertainment, and everything around you, which include your family, your offspring, things that you know, I believe I've made my children with the help of my ex-wife, but they are, whilst they once perhaps were part of me, they're now separate. Do they really exist? I can't answer that. They exist in one way, but they're not here with me now. Nobody's here with me now. I'm on my own in my room downstairs. So if the world is not a planet, if the world is not this so-called flat plane that the flat Earth people seem to struggle to actually explain, with a firmament over the top so it looks like a paperweight, one of those shake it and it snows little paperweight, which is the most ridiculous notion you could possibly have, by the way, for me, then what is it? What is it? It isn't. That's what it is. It isn't. It isn't anything. It's an illusion of something. It's an illusion of a, you know, we've been sold this history. It's a flat plane or it's a globe, but I don't think it is anything. I don't even think it is just vibration and energy. It is just so-called particles drifting about, creating something, just in the same way that a cathode ray tube television created the illusion of a picture because it was just light on a screen, and you needed this dot of light to rapidly move across the screen and then back again, creating a drawing, a effectively a picture sufficient. Or, as in a projector displaying 16mm film, would have, say, 24 frames of the same picture displayed on a screen, but incrementally the picture is somewhat different, in as much as if there is somebody waving his arms in each picture, his arms are incrementally in a different position. The illusion is that he is waving his arms when this is played at 24 frames, are played rapidly one after the other to create the illusion of a man waving his arms, or whatever, a car driving down the road, whatever it is. It's an illusion. And that's what I think is what we're in. You could ask yourself, what a strange illusion to be in. What a strange and peculiar illusion this is. But if you are alive for eternity, then one would imagine that every conceivable illusion would be played out, that could be played out, is played out. So this odd illusion of, in my case, a humble two-up, two-down, somewhat cluttered house with books, pipes, filming equipment, second-hand furniture, moth-eaten rugs, clattering washing machine, 1940s-style kitchen, sheer example of somewhat shabby domesticity, that this is being acted out for however you measure time, and that this version of a consciousness that must pervade everything, that is looking through a tiny little microscopic being, which we call life, human life if you want, or man or woman, or this consciousness, which has the appearance of being insignificant and not, is actually the only thing that it actually exists. The only thing that really exists is our consciousness, is our awareness. Everything else is make-believe. The upshot of this in the practical world, then, is we can change our thoughts, which will change the reality. And whilst in some ways we feel trapped in this body, in this dimension, whatever it is, of vibration and energy that seems to create a fairly solid reality, therefore it would follow that the only thing that can change it is our thoughts, and our thoughts can change the reality. And we consciously need to change our thoughts to create the reality that we would like to experience, instead of being in this reality that has dominated us, as in dominated me in the recent couple of years, has actually moved away from a beautiful country into a country that has become bland, and man has turned it, with the uglification of Britain, into something somewhat sinister and bleak. And therefore, one must be able to change those thoughts, that this reality that is here is not a solid, fixed term to the end of this consciousness life in this body. This is very deep. I appreciate this is very deep, and people may have gone, I don't really get what it's getting at, and fair enough, I don't blame you. I will pause now. If you are listening to this and it's resonated, while I am not encouraging people to email me ordinarily from the videos that I do, I would be encouraged by anybody emailing me if they have an opinion or a perspective or even a recommendation of a book on this area of thought. So, you know, please do feel free to email me, richard@vobes.com. I am desperately trying to stop the continual emails from the show because I don't want to disappoint people. I just don't get the time to read them all. And the emails that I would like to read, such as the one I've now just requested from anybody here who happens to have heard this in passing and has something to add, is to me is important to read those, and I don't want them to get lost in the barrage, in the deluge of nonsense. I've been writing my book that I said I'd started. I'm 35 pages into it. Chapter 3 I have begun. I'm enjoying it. I think it is a worthy... how would you express this? A worthy use of time. Whether it's a worthy read for anybody else is another matter, of course. But it is. I think it is an important thing for me to do. It isn't a philosophical work, by the way. Well, it is in a way. It is a solution. But it's an entertaining way of a solution. At least I hope it'll be entertaining. I may well read a section of it in this at some point when it's a little bit more formed. It's only in the early, you know, the early structure of it, first draft and all that. But it's thoroughly enjoyable. I read it out to the lovely Julia. And in fact, a friend of mine who also has written a book recently, he's encouraged me to write. I've been reading sections out to him, and he has enjoyed it. So it is fun. It's a fun thing to do. And I think also it has the potential to earn a little bit of money. I've got to invest in having it printed. I rather than just sticking it on Amazon where it will disappear... Because the trouble with me is I am creative and come up with different ideas. You look at Splidge the Cragflinger. Nobody quite understood what it was, and it wasn't really it was a children's book in a way, but it was also an adult read, and it doesn't follow the normal niches, and so therefore. Nobody was looking for it. Nobody was going, oh, it's a book. Let's find a book about witches or wizards or cats or dogs or that. It is its own work, and therefore it's hard to find. And this one, in a way, is the same. So I can only promote it through my YouTube channel. And because the viewers of my YouTube channel, assuming I keep the YouTube channel, you know, I'm not being thrown off, which I don't think I will, I think that's where the potential audience is. And so, rather than self-publishing it on Amazon, and I don't know whether a publisher would be interested in it, I don't know, maybe they would, but down the line. So I think I need to invest in perhaps 1,000 copies of the book. I did that with Splidge. I've still got a couple of hundred left. But I did manage to get shot of a load, and it cost me £2.50 each to produce, and I sold them for a fiver. So my markup was £2.50, and that was very cheap for a book. I could have probably sold it for £8 and made more, and then postage and packaging was on top. But if you bought it from Amazon, I think it's something like £12, which is... a lot more money, of course, for somebody, and I didn't want it to be too expensive. And so I took the risk, and yes, I've still got boxes of them, and sometimes I give them away, and sometimes I try and sell them or whatever. But people don't really know that I'm marketing children's books or whatever, but they are, it's a nice read. And I got many of these children's books, most of them in first draft, because I needed to see how successful I could be. Well, at the moment, not successful, which doesn't mean one will be successful, of course. And that if people became interested in my writing, which I hope to do much more of now, it's just having the right vehicle that people will go, oh, he's an interesting writer, and of course a skill that I hope to develop better. Then people will look at your back catalogue and go, well, I'd like to read that just to see. I think that's what people do. Anyway, I am now coming to the end of this and I need to upload it. Julia and I are going to the farm shop this morning and I have interviews and we have a lawful remedy to put out, or as I've nicknamed it, the awful remedy, for I don't know if the remedy is ever given. Is there a remedy? The remedy is your thoughts. It is down to you to how your universe will pan out. It's down to your thoughts. And so therefore, just going back, we must remove all negative thoughts, no matter what the illusion presents us. And this is the hardest part to realise, I think, that we are playing, and this is theatre, that we are playing, and therefore we are in control, no one else. And it goes deeper. I could write probably a book on this, and maybe there is a book on this, and maybe people have done that as well, and maybe it's something I ought to do. There is something that all of us can do. There is something that all of us can do, and few people do, few people attend to. And that, my friend, is thought. Is thinking, deep thinking, about all sorts of things. We do a little bit of it, but not enough, I feel. Which is why the non-playing characters, and now I'm really beginning to think that they are non-playing characters populating the world, my illusionary world, that they're here to make the place look busy. But I don't want them anymore. I don't want those people, those non-playing characters. I don't want the thudding buses, the thundering lorries, the zipping cars, the noisy pedestrians, the uncouth youth. I don't want all of that anymore, thank you. I want peace and quiet, and I want nature surrounding me. And I need to get that, and I need to concentrate my thought processes on that and bring it to me, so that the illusion, the energy, the vibration rearranges itself to create the world that I want. I think that's possible. I think that's all there is. And I think one has to gear one's thinking into that direction. I will leave you with that. If it's made any impression on you, if you exist, then I wish you a very happy day and a positive, thoughtful 24 hours until we speak again. Until that time, thank you for listening. Goodbye.